Thank you, brother. Thank you for praying for me, praying for us. Ezekiel. Turn to the book of Ezekiel. Right before Daniel. It's a large book. We don't want to go through all of it. When the Lord preached from Ezekiel, and he did, where did he preach from? Well, someone years ago made a list of the Old Testament books with a type of Christ in each one. I'm not sure who did that, whether that was my pastor or who. But the type that was used for Ezekiel or taken from Ezekiel is the glory of the Lord. Look at chapter 1 of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 26. Christ is the glory of the Lord. Verse 26, Ezekiel saw this vision of God, the likeness of a throne. He said the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, his appearance of a sapphire stone upon the likeness of the throne, the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. Now, so he saw a throne, a stone, and a man. Who's that? It's Christ. Read on. I saw the color of amber, appearance of fire around about the throne, appearance of his loins, and upward and downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. It had brightness round about. Read on. As the appearance of a bow, a rain bow, and in the cloud, the day of rain, the appearance of brightness round about. This sounds like John's description of Christ in Revelation 1, doesn't it? The appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw, I fell on my face and I heard a voice. This is the same one that John saw in Revelation. It's speaking of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's spoken of in chapter 3 also. And Moses, first five books. Moses in Exodus 33 said, Lord, show me thy glory. Remember that? Show me your glory. And the Lord answered him and said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. All the goodness of God is in Jesus Christ. He said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Jesus Christ is the grace of God and the mercy of God. It's all in him. He went on to say, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. That rock is Christ. He said, it'll come to pass, my glory passeth by, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock. That's all Christ did. And he proclaimed his name, name of the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Christ said, I am the truth, keeping mercy for thousands. So Jesus Christ is the glory of God. We've seen the glory of God in the face, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's Moses. Ezekiel's the same thing. He saw the glory of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, you remember? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. No man seen God the Father. God is Spirit. Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He said the whole earth is full of his glory. And then John later writes his gospel, God's gospel, John 1. He said, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And Peter said, we were there, we were on the mountain, when he received from God the Father honor and glory. So Jesus Christ is the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel saw him and fell on his face. Daniel saw him and he fell on his face. John saw him and he fell on his face. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I say this a lot because the Christ of Scriptures must be declared as he is. And this Jesus that everyone's claiming to believe and all these fellows are preaching is another Jesus, because no one fears him. No one fears him. The fear of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very beginning of saving wisdom. Everyone who finally sees the true Christ of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, falls on their face. Okay? The glory of the Lord. And for everyone who falls on their face, like John, the Lord Jesus Christ says, fear not. Get up. So the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of God. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. And remember, our Lord prayed in his prayer in John 17, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And we even, in the place where he is called glory. Because he is heaven. He is the glory of the Lord. Glory means praise. Glory means honor. Glory means beauty. Glory means magnificence. What is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is his glory? Well, number one is the glory of his person. He's glorious. Who is this that comes from Bozrah, red in his apparel? Glorious. I that speak and righteous. Glorious in his apparel. He's glorious in his being. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He didn't begin when he came here to this earth. No, he's the eternal God. He was with the Father from the beginning, and he has no beginning or end of days. He's eternal. His being is glorious. He is sovereign. The Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign. He's sovereign over all. That's what he said to the Father, you've given me power over all flesh. He said to his disciple, he's given me authority over all flesh. He's sovereign. He's glorious in his, he doesn't change. Big word, immutable. Just so you'll know. I know some big words. That means he doesn't change. And that's so wonderful. For us sinners, and everything around us is so changing. We are up and down. He doesn't change. When he says something, he doesn't change. When he does something, he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means you can trust him completely. He's not going to change. He's not going to change his word. But he's promised you something. It's yours. Glorious in his person. He's omnipresent. Another big word. Means he's everywhere. Everywhere. There's no place where he is not. Now, explain that. Someone take my place because I can't. How can he be everywhere at the same time? Well, I don't know, but he is. He told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And the scripture says he sits at the right hand of the majesty on high, sits on the circling earth. Yet he said, I am with you always. I'll never leave you, he said. I don't understand. I don't either, but I believe. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. Another big word. It means he knows everything. Knows everything. Omnipotent, all powerful. He's three and yet one. He's glorious in his person. So glorious that we cannot understand him. He cannot be declared. He's glorious in his attributes. Glorious in his character. That means his character, his attributes. He's holy. 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 Lord God of God. He's holy. What does that mean? Well, basically it means he's everything we are not. He's just God. He's right, righteous in all his ways, a just God. Shall not the judge either do right? Yes, he does. Aren't you glad that he's just? There is no justice in this world. You cannot find It's not the just means fair. There's nothing fair. And that's good, really, because it makes us turn to Him who is the just one. He's wise. People in this world are fools. The smartest, so-called wisest people in this world are fools. Why? Because they say there's no God. And they say Jesus is just a man. What a fool. That's foolish. He's God. He's wise, all wise. You can trust Him. He's good. He's good. I mean, He really is. Everything about Him is good. He's a good God and a good man. He's love. I mean, He's love. Real love. Love doesn't fail. Love doesn't quit. Love doesn't leave. Love saves. Love keeps. Love provides. He is love. You understand? If He loves you, you're loved forever. And there's nothing you can do about it. Aren't you glad? If He loves you, you're loved. No matter what you may think about yourself. He's merciful. That means kind. It means He doesn't give people, doesn't give everybody what they deserve. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins. Why? Because He took them. Oh, isn't that merciful? He's gracious. Giveth and giveth and giveth. And there's nothing we have that He didn't give it. And then He doesn't upbraid when you blow it off. Well, I lost everything you gave me yesterday. Oh, you need more. I do. Here you go. Compassion. Touched. Tender. We could go on for 6 days. 7 days. Good, and we're talking about His glorious person. Then there's the glory of His Word. The glory of His person. The glory of His Word. The Word of creation. The Word of His power. And God, what other creature? What? He's not a creature. What creature can say something is done? Create. Nobody's ever created anything by just saying something. And God said, let there be light. It was light. God said, let there be a firmament. Firmament. God said, let there be. It was. What power. What glory. Huh? Creating. Upholding all things by His Word. Upholding all things by His Word. Things move and have their being and do this and do that because God says so. Stop. Start. Cease. Begin. He just speaks. It's done. He spoke and it was done. Psalm 33:9. He commanded. He stood fast. Aren't you glad, John, He gave commandment to save me, save you. Aren't you glad? Because when He speaks, He's done. Almighty love, arrest that man. He's running. Grab him. Lay hold of him. Aren't you glad? He speaks, and it's done. Creating, upholding all things by His power. You know, His Word is His power. Word is His glory. The glory of His Word. And all who say, God's trying to tell me something. They don't know God. The Son didn't say, well, God's trying to tell me something. In Him, He lived and moved and had His being. The Son existed because God said, shine. His Word spoken. That's His Word of creation. And I remind you, John 1 says that Christ, all things were created by Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, so he's not this Jesus that everybody says he's trying and wanting to, and if only you'll let him. There's nothing in the universe. It's how the creatures say to him that formed him, you can't do that. Clay. He's the potter, we're the clay. Clay has no say. You remember one time I brought a ball of clay up on the pulpit? Remember that? I made it. I took wet dirt and wet it and put it in. It was inanimate. It's just a ball of clay, and I stuck it right there. Now do something. Come on now, clay. I want to make you something. Please let me. Clay has no say. It's dead. So I wasn't going to holler. I'm sorry. Lazarus, come forth. That's the only way clay is going to live. The only way clay is going to be anything. He makes one vessel of the same lump, of the same lump, all dead sinners. He makes one vessel unto honor. Why? For his glory. For his glory. Another unto dishonor. That's our Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of his word. The word spoken. The word written. The word spoken. Psalm 19. There are two books. It talks about the book of creation. And then the law of the Lord. Law of the Lord. I got to go on. You're in Ezekiel. That the glory of God's word. The glory of God's word. The glory of his book. The Bible. I kind of hesitate to call it that because everybody talks about the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Now, you know what my Bible says. Well, your Bible, Bible, Bible. The word means book. The book is a person. The book was made flesh. The Bible was made flesh, you see. Here's the glory of it. It's not just the book. It's the word of the living God, and that word was made flesh and lived among us. The living He's the living Bible. It's not just a book, you see. The Bible is a person. It's a living word. It's called the living word of God. Why? Because God is the voice of God. Psalm 29, I was going to go there. The voice of the Lord makes the cedars to breaks the cedars and the hardest heart and makes the hinds to calve and creates life and destroys and creates and everything by the word of the Lord. It's the voice of God, the living word, because our Lord is the living Lord. It's his voice, and he speaks, creation. Things are created. Life is given. Same way, spiritually speaking. God uses this word, which many people read, and it's just words on paper. But now, if God, through the Spirit of God, speaks, It's not just words, is it? It's his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And you know what they do? They live. They follow him. New heart. New mind. New life. Wasn't there before. By reading the Bible? No. Now God's speaking to you through the word of God. And that word preached. But see, it's his living word because it's his voice, and nothing lives until he says so. And it gives sight. When our Lord was on this earth, and I can't wait to look at this, maybe Wednesday night. Some men were sent to take him, to apprehend him and bring him to the authorities. And he was preaching. And they couldn't touch him. They sat down. He was preaching, and these fellows were sent, paid, to get him, grab hold of him, and take him to authority. And they came in, and he was speaking, and they dropped. Like you tell a dog, sit. And they sat down, and they listened. And then they went back. They said, why didn't you take him? Never a man spake like this man. We may look at that Wednesday. You ought to. Oh, the eyes have it. Never man spake like this man. By his word. He's a blind man. Blind all his life. Blind all his life. There's no cure for blindness, is it? The Lord Jesus Christ said, see. And he saw. Deafness. Mine's getting worse. Maybe as bad as my dad someday. Or my mom's. He got to where he couldn't hear anything. And that's a handicap just as much as blindness. You know that? How would you like to not be able to hear anything? Not be able to hear preaching? Not be able to hear your beloved's voice? How'd you like? It's a man deaf from birth. In Mark 7. He took him out of the crowd and put his fingers in his ears. Hear. And he heard. What did he hear? The beloved's voice. Christ's voice. Oh my. He spoke and it was done. A woman guilty all her life. Sinner all her life. She could not clean up her act. She could not do good if she tried. She could not get out of the pit of sin, of lust. She couldn't do it. She's guilty. And they caught her in the very act of adultery again. And they brought her to Christ. And she's laying at his feet. And he says, forgiven. Justified. Get up. Go and sin no more. No condemnation? No condemnation. And that's my third point. I'm only on my first. The glory of his word. My, my. Ezekiel. Right, let me go on. Ezekiel 33. Go over there. Ezekiel 33. See, our Lord, Ezekiel was sent to Israel. This whole book of Ezekiel is to Israel. You know that? God's people. And he was sent to them to preach. Right? That's what Ezekiel was. A prophet. Prophets preached the word. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, speak to them. Speak to Israel. Speak to them. Our Lord was sent by the Father to this earth. This is the glory of his work. Okay? First thing he did was he came as a preacher. Ezekiel 33, look at this in verse 30. Son of man. Now, he's called the Son of Man 94 times. And Ezekiel. Is that important? Another 50 sometimes in the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What's that mean? You know, I'm the son of a man. Aren't I? But there's a son of a man. He wouldn't be alive. There's sons of everywhere of men. Right? Why is Christ called? Why is he called the son of man? That's what Christ called himself. Ezekiel is a type of him. Why is that? Because he's not born of Adam. He's not Adam's seed. He's a woman's seed. Born of a virgin. Well, you can't conceive a child without a man's seed. It's impossible. Well, that holy thing in her was the Son of God, you said. And yet, he didn't take on himself the nature of angels or some kind. He took upon him the seed of Abraham. This is what he's saying. Great is the mystery of God. God was manifest in his flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, Son of God, made of a woman. And they thought he was the son of Joseph, a man. No, he's not the son of Joseph. Well, the son of David. Well, yes, but no. Because David called him Lord. Well, whose son is he? He called himself the Son of Man because he took flesh. He had to. He had to take flesh and live among us. And the form of a man and the likeness of sinful flesh without sin. See, if he was born of man, he'd be a sinner like you and me. And that means he can't save anybody. He can't save himself. And he became a man, you see. And he called himself the Son of Man because he's identifying with us. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He submitted to being the son of a sinful man. Think about that. Joseph, his father, good man, just man, Scripture says so. He's a sinner. And he was wrong a lot of the time. And I'm sure he was unfair to his son, Jesus. I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was this and that. I'm sure Joseph, his father, got irritated and took it out on his son. And anybody guilty of Scripture says, provoke not your children to wrath. Have you ever done that? And Patrick, think about this. His son never did anything wrong, ever. Never said anything wrong. Serves him 100% submissive and in obedience to his father. Can you imagine? You can't imagine that. Well, he was. But his father was a sinner. You were so subject to sinful man, aren't we? We're in submission to sinful man. We're subject to sinners. Our Lord became subject. Amen. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he said. Touched for the feeling of our infirmities. Tempted in all points like as we are. See what a blessing that is that he's called the Son of Man. Well, you don't understand how I feel. Oh, yes, I do. You know, our children say that. They see us, adults, our teenagers, and they say to us, you don't understand what I'm going through. We're so severe. You just don't understand me. Nobody understands me. Are you serious? You don't think that I was a teenager? You don't think I thought every single thing that went through your head? You don't think Mom and Dad's not fair to me? You don't think I wanted to head out and get it? I did. You don't think I regretted it later on? Our Lord was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You're talking about a good son. You're talking about a good father. Merciful grace. He knows us. Knows our frame. Never forgets our frame. But he became a man, Son of Man. I tell you, Ezekiel 33. So he was sent as the Son of Man to preach. In chapter 14, he preached repentance. That was the first thing our Lord said. He spoke the word of God. He's sent as the word of God. Verse 30, he's the prophet of God. Verse 30, Son of Man, children of thy people are talking against thee. Now the wall, the doors, the house, speak one to another, everyone to his brother. Come, I pray you, hear what is the word of the Lord. It cometh forth from the Lord. Everywhere we read in John's gospel, they were murmuring, they were talking, there was a division because of him. Everybody's talking about him. Have you heard that young rabbi from Nazareth? Have you heard him preach? Come on, let's go hear him preach. Ezekiel, verse 31. They come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as the people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. Their mouth, they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. He'd been saying that all along. I know you, he said to the Pharisees. I know you. You come to me. He said, you will not come unto me if you have life. See, I know you, he said, you have not the love of God in you. I know you, if you were Abraham's children, you'd love me. Abraham wrote of me, spoke of me, saw my dad. He went on and on to say that. Verse 32, lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, as one with a pleasant voice. He came to Nazareth, they said that, didn't they? Huh? Gracious words poured from his lips. They said, this is Joseph's son. Listen to him speak. They hear thy words, but they don't do them. Read on, verse 33. And this is interesting. Christ lived 33 years. This is Ezekiel 33:33. When this comes to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. That prophet. And he, that prophet, said, to me, to him, give all the prophets witness. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. He's sent to earth. Why was he sent? To seek and to save the lost. Look at the next chapter. To seek and to save the lost. He said, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. He said, what man among you having a sheep and he doesn't leave the 99 and go up to the one in the wilderness? Look at verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, will search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the days among the sheep that are scattered. He said, I will seek out my sheep, and what? From Ezekiel 34 on, he keeps saying, I will, I will, I will, and you shall. See, this is the difference between the God of the Scripture, the God of the Bible, and the Jesus Christ who is Lord, not wanting to be. He is Lord, the Lord our salvation, the Lord our shepherd. He said, I will seek my sheep, and what? I will find them, and I will deliver them. I've got to shout this. Wherever they are, he said, all the places scattered in the cloudy and dark day, and I will bring them out from the people. Bring them to their land and feed them. Why? Because he's the Lord, our shepherd. And Ezekiel went on. What a chapter. Give me another hour. In verse 23, he says, I'll set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, my servant David. Well, David's been dead for years. David's been dead for years. Who's he talking about? The one who's never died. Alive forevermore. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. The Lord will be their God. Why? Because I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus said so. Right back to his word. So he's the Lord, sent our shepherd, sent to this earth. This is the glory of his work, the glory of his salvation, the glory of his redemption. Can I show you one more in Ezekiel? Anybody? Anybody? Just, all right, the eyes have. Chapter 16. Can you look at Ezekiel and not look at chapter 16? He's the Lord of life. He said, I'm the great shepherd. I'll seek my sheep. I'll find them. Well, they're dead sheep. They're not just black sheep. They're dead. He said, I'm come that they might have life. Sister over there mouthed those words, that you might have life. See, this is why I came. This is the glory of his being, the glory of his word, the glory of his work. Ezekiel 16. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me again. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Isn't that why he came, brother? Didn't he come? He came in right into Jerusalem and went right to the temple and said, the abomination of desolation is here. And I'm going to clean this out. Like a fuller's fire, a fuller's soap, and refiner's fire. I'm going to clean house. He did. He said, Jerusalem, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, your birth, your nativity, the land of Canaan, stranger. Your father, the Amorite, your mother, a Hittite. As for thy nativity, the day you were born, your navel was not cut. Still tied to all of this. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee, not salted. I want you to remember every word I'm reading to you now. Water and salt, you don't have it. Swaddled, you're not covered. You're naked, you're filthy, you're wretched, you smell bad. You're tied to this earth, dirty. Isn't that why Christ came? Isn't that who Christ came for? You say, that's not me. Then he didn't come for you. Cast out an open field, verse 5, to the loathing of thy person. What do you think about yourself? It's going to go on in Ezekiel to say, when I do all this for you, you're going to loathe your person. You're going to hate yourself. When the love of God comes, you hate yourself. Verse 6. When I passed by. He didn't have to, did he? He did. As the Lord Jesus Christ passed by where you lay. And I saw thee. Who saw who? Polluted. Corrupt. In thine own blood. The pollution is running through your bloodstream. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And you lived. And they went on to wash. And cover. And deck. Raise her up. And she became beautiful. You know why? He said, through my comeliness. You became beautiful. What I did for you. Isn't that glory or what? You see, he was stripped. She was naked. Our Lord was stripped on Calvary and took his glorious garment and put it on her nakedness. And she was washed. We were washed in his very own blood. Ain't that something? Okay.